And who do I have joining us on tonight's KFFSC podcast?
This is Brad, part of FBI.
Oh, Brad, part of FBI, a major part of FBI. As we wait for the second half of FBI to show up, Mr. Darren Larson. How are you tonight, Brad?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I think we're going to do just fine. Do we have Mr. Larson with us now? I hear him moving around out there, Brad. Well, maybe not yet. Brad, you know, 2020 was a year that we look back on and we learned a lot about ourselves and learned how to do things very differently. But we look back on it with some very pleasant memories as well. And some of the things we'll be glad to forget, but we'll never forget that we looked up before the first live drafts of the year in Cincinnati. And we see Petri and Larson with their noted swagger enter the room, sit down at 11 a.m. draft, and draft the team that would eventually win the 2020 KFFSC championship. Did you feel that good about that team when you were drafting it?
To be honest, no, because I normally don't take a tight end in the second round. And I remember sitting next to Jim Cole saying, man, I didn't really want Kelsey, but I had to take him there. So, no, I mean, you know, hindsight, you look back at it, and the misses were covered up by some of my later picks, you know. So,
I can see that. It dispels the myth that, you know, your team drafted at 11 a.m. in Cincinnati's Browns division last year. And I'm glad you talked about Jim Cole, a noted player that was sitting at the table. Do you remember any of the other guys that were in that Browns division? Or did you just have your head over your sheet and going at it?
I can't recall any other people. I just, you know, Jim sat next to me and, you know, and no, I really don't. I mean, we kind of have a sheet that we kind of use that we adjust and adapt. And that was kind of the first day of it. And, you know, cause Darren's pretty good at adapting to each draft and he'll, you know, so our sheets might change from Cincinnati to Louisville. And we seem to do very well at the Cincy. The year before we had a team that led almost the whole way. And that was drafted in Cincinnati too. So,
well, maybe it's the fact that you guys stay prepared so you don't have to prepare. You know, you guys have spent a lot of time drafting throughout the season. And as we expanded our draft opportunities throughout 2021, FBI was a force in all the drafts. So let's get back to taking a look. But the fact that Cole and, you know, all the guys that show up at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, in Cincinnati are very well-versed veteran players of the KFFSC. So you went in and you sit down, and it's some players, and I'm just going by memory here that I noticed from your team. And it dispels the myth that you must draft a perfect team to win, because on this team were Mark Ingram. On this team, I think in the fifth round, certainly nothing wrong with this player, but you didn't get his draft capital performance out of him, is T.Y. Hilton. You struck gold, I believe, with Antonio Gibson in the late single-digit rounds, maybe 8 or 9. Latavius Murray was on this team, and I'm sure he – and Alvin Kamara was too, correct?
Yes, that's – I paired those two up, yes.
So looking back on it, what did you particularly like from week to week about having to field this lineup?
Well, after the first couple of weeks, it was clear that Antonio Gibson was going to outperform Mark Ingram. And then, you know, that Justin Jefferson, which was picked in round 12, was a complete surprise. So, you know, in reality, the 8th, 10th, and 12th round picks of this team kind of carried it in my book. You expect to get what you get from Kamara and Kelsey. But in the 8th, we had Gibson. In the 10th, we had Josh Allen. And in the 12th, we had Justin Jefferson. So that kind of covered up the T.Y. Hiltons and the Mark Ingrams and the, you know, some of the other things, the people we put picked. And, you know, we went took Amari Cooper and we took both. I took both of the Pittsburgh Steelers receivers, Johnson and Schuster. And, you know, so, you know, the later rounds actually helped this team, you know, cover up some of those
well, we've talked at length about how championships are built in the later round. And I think we have joining us from the second home office is Darren Larson. Darren, are you with us now?
I am.
It is good to hear you, buddy. We hear the doors banging and the city. You get settled in and we can talk a little fantasy football as we celebrate your 2020 championship drafted in the Browns division at 11 a.m. And congratulations on another fine year of drafting, and this time you came out on top, buddy. This team, you guys have an interesting way of playing as a partnership. There's several times that you'll split it up, but most of the time you're sitting side to side at the table. But Brad mentioned one thing. It's the what has become to be known as the Hammer Time cheat sheet produced by Peter Ian Larson and guarded closely and shared between each of you. And there, Brad mentioned that you do a very, very big job of honing that cheat sheet as you go through the year and get, once you get to Louisville, you guys have perfected what you want to do. So since you won the draft with the 11 a.m. team last year, apparently you should have left the cheat sheet alone from the very first moment. But a lot of success. What can you tell me about that team?
The one in Cincinnati, the Browns?
Yes, sir, your championship team. I know you have others you'd like to crow about too, but we're going to focus on this one tonight.
Well, one thing that we talked about that we discussed as a team was the option. It wasn't being done a lot last year, and we kind of, you know, I kind of started becoming open into it, was drafting a tight end in the second round, Kelsey. You know, I think I did that all four teams, or three out of four teams, in Cincy, and it worked out well. The funny thing, I remember about that team, we had a lot of other teams up top going into the last week. And I just remember Kamara played first and he went off for what was it, 7 touchdowns. And I was distraught after that. I didn't want to watch football. I didn't want to have anything to do with it, because it like knocked five or six teams of ours, you know, out of it. But but as the weekend progressed, you know, we found ourselves in position with that team, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, it's unbelievable. And it really was. I mean, we really struck gold, like Brad was relating to you with Gibson, and we were on Gibson early. I mean, in the early drafts, we were drafting him in the last round. So he was one of our guys. Jefferson, I was not on like Brad was. So that's kudos to Brad on Jefferson. You know, Kamara just, I mean, it was just a perfect storm for us last year. It was kind of amazing, because the year before we were just, every week we were just dominant. And this last year we weren't, until we got to the playoffs, and we finally had a year where we got hot in the playoffs. And that's the key. You just get yourself into it and get hot in the playoffs.
You know, and that's exactly what you guys did. And this year in the KFFSC, despite the fact we got it in the rules and we've talked about it all year, now as guys are signing in, they want to know what's happening to the extra week. The extra week goes into the championship of the main event in the KFFSC. So it goes from a 3-week championship run to a 4-week championship run, accommodating week 17. Could you guys imagine more weeks? Couch. Like you were last year, and you know that you'll make it. You guys will make it working with each other. What's changed about this year in your preparation, or are you taking a look at it and saying, if it If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, I don't think we've changed much at all. I mean, myself, I mean, most of our teams are kind of built the same way this year. Maybe that's a little bit different than last year, but I don't think so. I mean, if you look at our drafts, our teams, not to give too much away, but we don't necessarily think we need three running backs to start off a draft. So we're kind of, you know, that one and then we move on with running backs. So I think that's kind of how we did last year. If you look at that team that even won the thing, we drafted the first round and I took Ingram in the sixth, which wasn't very, very beneficial, but then we got Gibson in the eighth. So that's kind of how, and most people fall to us, but and maybe Darren's got anything different. I don't think that we've really changed a lot. You know, there's guys that he likes, there's guys that I like. So as partners, there's certain drafts that we lead the draft, so to speak. So that will allow him to make his decisions and me to make mine. But I don't think
three of us all talk about football, and it's interesting that when we do talk, we all three pretty much talk together at the same time. As you have gone through the process of getting ready for 2021, have you noticed anything different in the way that fantasy football is presented? You know, for instance, I have. There's more fantasy football commentary from non-traditional fantasy sources. You know, we all know football guys. We all have our favorite podcast. By the way, the Chasing the Helmets guys just sold out their KFFSC main event league. And we'll do a podcast, our own draft head junkies, Jason Kahn and Aaron Laser are doing a podcast. Your best friend, Brad Fetch, you know, joins me when I can get him to do a podcast. But is there anything different that you're using or seeing this year that's come into your world of fantasy football?
Well, for myself, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I'm not on Twitter. I don't really want anything to do with Twitter.
Yeah, you're probably smart man for that. Genius move.
I can get the information that I need, I feel, on podcasts and a couple websites, and that way you can kind of really hone in on who you trust out there, because there's a lot of people, a lot of analysts out there that I don't really relate to what they're doing. It doesn't work for me, and it might work for others. I mean, there's many different ways you can win a league, but I like to hone in on, you know, probably a core, you know, podcast group of maybe, you know, 10 podcasts or so that I just keep pounding, and I'm just always listening to podcasts and studying ADPs and working on the Hammer Time guide and just trying to create edges. And we, you know, we're structural drafters, but we're also look for value. And so those two things collide sometimes when we're drafting. That's usually the way we draft. I mean, this year it seems like there is maybe, I mean, I feel a little different with the first round than Brad does. It just seems like there's less towards the top that I feel comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And I think this year it might open up a little bit better, where you can utilize, you know, different starts in the first three rounds, or like, for example, starting a receiver and then either coming back with a stud tight end or a stud running back. There's some good running backs in round two still. Or a tight end in three. I mean, there's just different ways to build this year. And I'm just kind of been exploring that and kind of studying that. And
I've noticed that too. For instance, if you last year or perhaps in previous years, if you wanted to shake your team up, you generally had to choose your draft spot through the draft slot auction. You would have to take different slots. Now you could take five, and your teams, you might have three teams out of the five spot, and none of them have very much in common because of the variety of players that you can that you can put in there. Now I want to talk a little bit about this Hammer Time draft guide. Sure. Because I think its name came from how hard you guys hammer it out. But I want the listeners to know that on a 2019, or maybe even it was 2020, I can't remember. Brad, you can correct me if about the year, but you guys had earned a bid to play in the FFPC, and this year you earned more than one to play in the FFPC through your KFFSC play. And Darren and Brad, in their gracious state, I want the listeners to know, had provided me with the Hammer Time guide to take on my trip to Las Vegas. As everyone knows, I didn't get to draft much. The slow drafts weren't a thing. And I had not drafted much. And I needed a little guide, a little help to put my team together. But when we got to Las Vegas, Brad and I discovered that we were competing in the same 12-team league. And I was forced to surrender my Hammer Time guide, and justifiably so. I did not complain. You know, there was a ceremonial surrendering of the Hammer Time guide. And Brad, I believe that Hammer Time ruled, at least with us that year. I think you defeated me in that division pretty handily, if I recall.
Well, you know. I think that team was pretty good, did pretty well, but faded down the stretch. So, you know, I think we probably maybe ended up in the same spot. But
we were very close, and I was proud of our teams. I sat there in the ninth round thinking CeeDee Lamb or James Robinson, and I couldn't really go wrong with either one. And it was CeeDee Lamb, but oh, how sweet it would have been if I had taken James Robinson, because I really did need Lamb at the time. Guys, we'll be in Cincinnati this weekend. How are you guys going to handle it? We've got seven divisions of main event teams, and then we will have we actually have one I Want Vegas team, which is a hybrid, guys drafting both online and live, and that one is getting very close to filling. It's our last and only open spot in Cincinnati. So how are you guys handling this draft? Are you're together, you're separate, a little bit of both? How's it coming down?
Well, go ahead, Brad.
We're totally how can you say it? We like the opportunities that present itself in Cincinnati. So we split up. So we're going to get – Darren's going to do four main events. I'm going to do three main events, and I'm going to do the I Want Vegas.
Oh, great.
We seem to do well there. So our strategy is to get the most bang out of our buck and, hopefully continue on the tradition with some strong teams out of there. So that's how we're going to approach it on – then and then we'll start to get the partnering up on Friday and so forth in Louisville. But
have your online KFFSC teams shared the same kind of success that your live teams have, or can you differentiate the level of success you have from those teams
as far as main event teams?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we only did maybe did two last year. I honestly can't remember how we did. I know the slow we didn't do so well in the I Want Vegas, and I could never figure out why, because we took Robinson like way late, and I don't know. I don't recall it being a barn burner. So it seems like you get a larger variety on the onlines. There's a bigger range of outcomes on the onlines. Uh-huh. You could have a stacked room, or it could be just a free-for-all. You never know what you're going to get on the online. So it seems like the lives are a little more stable for that, I would say, a little more predictable. So it just depends which online you get into. I think the first online this year was – that was the one we should have got into. But
the grass always looks greener on the other side, fellas, but you still got to mow it. I want to tell you that. Okay, enough about last year. Let's talk a little bit about this year. I want to hit you guys with some things, and you can give me as long as answer as you want, but I'm going to hit you with a lot of them. So keep it as concise as you possibly can, because we want to know your opinions about a lot of different things. Okay, first of all, we have some gentlemen coming into the league this year. Their podcast is called Chasing the Helmet. Mm-hmm. They are Scott Connor and Jay Reed. And these guys are coming in, and their favorite thing that they want to talk about is stacking. Mm-hmm. They want to talk about stacking. Stacking means that you end up with two or three players from the same offense, sometimes maybe even more. Sometimes stack draft. Your opinions, Brad, you go first. Your opinions on stacking, and then Darren will follow up what you guys have said.
Well, quite honestly, I never really thought about it until this year. I just never did. It was just, I'm going to take the best quarterback that was left on the board and go that way. But this year, I see the possibilities that are there. So I've actually probably turned around a little bit more. If it makes sense, I'm not going to pass on a quarterback, because usually what you're doing is you're trying to match the quarterback with a receiver, a quarterback with a running back, or a quarterback with a tight end. So I'm not going to jump up and get a quarterback a couple rounds early just so I can stack him. So quite often, if it makes sense, it's usually we're not so predictable on the quarterback. I mean, we don't always take a earlier round quarterback. So no. if the quarterback makes sense with somebody that we have, I mean, we got Stafford and Kupp, Stafford and Woods a few times, you know. But I've come around a little, so. Darren may have a different opinion previously about it, but I never really put much thought to it before this year.
Anybody? James, Darren, what about you? Is Hammer Time Guide allowing for stacking?
Yes, on occasion. I know stacking was kind of it was kind of a best ball move, and also in daily. Uh-huh. And you know, you get a wide variety of opinions on stacking and season long. Now, I would point out that we did not stack in our championship team this last time and got hot. I mean, but I did have one eye on the team that had Allen and Diggs that was screaming up the leaderboard at us.
Yeah, that's a nice feel. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, there is definitely, I can see once you get into the tournament aspect of it, if you can position your team into the playoffs, I could see where it could it could be right. You have to have the right stack, though, and you know that's not always.
Our good friend Bobby Sangerman has familiarized me with something that he either picked up on a podcast, or maybe he picked up on multiple podcasts, but. And I told him that it didn't exist. And I think I continue to be right, but it is a popularized notion that between rounds 4 and 6, that the wide receivers or other positional players that you can get provide so much more value than the running backs, that these rounds are being labeled the running back dead zone. Beware of the running back dead zone. You guys buy into that? Darren, you go first.
I mean, I know I've been familiar with that for, you know, three, four years, I've always tried to stay out of that. But if you look at the win rates, it really is skewed towards wide receivers, especially rounds 3 through 5, I believe. But in the KFFSC, when you have to start three receivers, those receivers dry up fast. So it kind of, unless you're really getting the great value, you got to watch yourself with playing around.
If you're not going to, in other words, if you're not going to pick running backs in the dead zone, and everybody's picking receivers, you can get out of sorts real quick. You know, who are you going to pick?
You got to be careful with your build early, you know, through those rounds. I mean, so yeah, I mean, I definitely adhere to that for the most part. There are occasions where I'll break it, but, and there are some players that are intriguing in that area, but 9 times out of 10, I'm taking receiver there.
Brad, intriguing players in this dead zone might be Gaskin, might be Jacobs, might even be Henderson. You got a favorite amongst those three?
Well, I like Miles Gaskin, but I wouldn't take him in the fifth. You know, he's probably sixth rounder, seventh rounder to me. I like Henderson, though. I mean, I do. I just, you know, you always wonder if they're going to bring somebody else in or what they're going to do there. But I liked him while Akers was still playing, because I thought he'd get a lot of time. I really did. So, you know, Jacobs is kind of a mystery. I think he's fallen out of sorts with some of the drafters, and the others love him. So,
I saw a fascinating stat on Jacobs. When the team wins, he's terrific. When the team loses, it's a very, very poor performance. And I suppose you could say that about a lot of players, but, you know, many players will have excellent games, although the team will lose, not Jacobs. You know, the Raiders start with, I think, a very tough assignment on Monday night versus Baltimore. I think Jacobs, where I have him in the FFPC, might end up on my bench. Guys, you have brought forward play in all the formats in the KFFSC. You've never met a league or a structure of a league that you don't necessarily like, and you've excelled in all of them. So I want to I wrote a check today to our developers. You know, nobody likes paying bills and writing checks, but every time I pay the platform developers for some of the innovations they're doing at KFFSC, I get kind of excited about it, because I know it's money that's being well spent. And even though it's expensive, and even though it takes us a while to get that money back, it's still, you can see from day one, because you start using the platform that's been developed. You know, this year we got some things that are a little bit different. There will be a consolation league. You guys won't probably worry about that, because all your teams will be in the playoffs. But there will be a consolation league, and there will be, I hate the expression toilet bowl, so we're calling it the Next Year Begins Here League. And everyone will continue to play, and that'll be one great aspect that I think everyone will enjoy, and the prizes associated with those leagues. But we have a league that will begin at the end of the regular NFL season, not the fantasy season. We'll have a week off, but the end of the regular NFL season and before the wild card games that following Saturday. It'll be a week-long draft bonanza. And it was brought on and introduced to me and suggested to me by none other than Brad Petri, and seconded by Darren Larson. And it's going to be known as our playoff draft, and we're going to follow up the playoff draft. We'd look to have 120 teams with a $200 buy-in. And we will follow up celebrating the winner of that playoff draft at our inaugural KFFSC draft and Super Bowl viewing party on the big game weekend, February 12th and 13th, where we'll be getting back at Caesars. So if you want to be like FBI and not have to prepare, because you're always prepared, these are the kind of drafts that we'll be getting into. So, Brad, we've got in this playoff draft that everyone, we hope, will be signing up. There will be 6-team divisions, and there'll be 20 different divisions, and you'll draft 14 players, including kicker and defense, and you will get through these drafts in about 45 minutes. How are you going to play, and what's going to be your strategy for FBI taking this down?
Well, the whole key of those things are to pick players on teams you think are going to go the farthest. You know, it may not be the – you know, you could have a player that's really good, but his team doesn't stand a shot of winning only, you know, maybe one or none playoff games.
Right.
So the strategy in those are to pick the team that's going to – the player that's going to have the most games.
Okay, so Tampa returns to the playoffs this year. I think everybody can kind of agree that they'll be there, and they might not have to go through Green Bay to get there. I don't think anyone could not everyone predicted their level of success. Kansas City will most likely be there again. But you know what? In a 6-team draft of 14 players, your stacking opportunities are somewhat limited. But if you were able to get rosters full of both Super Bowl opponents, how sweet it would be. Last year, did you guys – I think a lot of people thought it was going to be Kansas City. Did you guys think it was going to be Tampa?
I did not. I don't know.
No. I thought it'd be a closer game than what a lot of people were saying, but I was shocked at how they – shut them down.
Yeah, I think everybody was, and it just proves a great thing about defensive football. Speaking of defensive football, you guys have mastered our defensive rules. You like our defensive rules. How high do you pick a defense?
Well, I mean, anywhere from around 13 is kind of a stretch for us. 15 to probably even 18 or 19. It just depends on, you know, what's left on what we consider value to other positions. You know, it's important, but, you know, I think there's probably 8 to 10 good ones out there, or decent ones. Sir. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want to overreach, but if you really like one, I mean, it makes sense. But I think, you know, I think we took Baltimore in the 15th the other night. So, yeah,
that's hard to beat. I like their schedule. I like their playoff schedule. Darren, did you have a favorite defensive story where your defense won a contest for you last year?
No. I mean, my thoughts on defense were 2 years ago, where New England just was steamrolled, and we had New England in probably almost half of our leagues. But I don't remember. I don't remember many stories from last year. I don't know, Brad. Do you remember any?
No, I can't remember any. Nothing that we hit on like New England the year.
New England.
You know, I think one of the defenses that I like this year and really surprised me last year was the Miami Dolphins, and they rewarded drafters because they gave up so few points. They made a lot of plays, especially interceptions. They had a good return game. Good special teams work, but they gave up so few points. And I think about them this year playing against New England, where we don't really know what's going to come out of that offense, but we may get a rookie quarterback there playing some of the time. And the New York Jets, we know they're going to get a rookie quarterback all of the time. Mm-hmm. And with Buffalo, that's not a rookie quarterback. So you might have to stream the second defense. Would you guys accept the strategy that in the KFFSC you need two defenses?
Me personally, I don't think so. But again, if there's something makes sense over another player, I'm just not a two defensive guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a gentleman in the league a few years ago. And it was a fantastic story. The 49ers, and I don't know who they played, but they scored damn near 50 points, 52 points, I believe. They threw a shutout. They returned kickoffs and punts. They picked up a fumble and ran it back. They sacked the quarterback so many times it would suggest what a shutout would be. You know, they just totally dominated their opponent. And so they got the big bonus for pitching the shutout, and then – all those other points accumulated. And the gentleman had a very decent defense on his team, and he chose to start that one, and they played miserably. played miserably, and they ended up with a negative 10, the worst defensive outing of the year for this team. You know, it was an outlier. And it drove him absolutely crazy. He would not return to the league and play in the main event because, and I kept telling him, well, everybody should have known that you start 49ers there, which I don't know if I would have either. You know, that probably just added fuel to the fire. But I love the potentiality of what a good defense can do, and it's meant in our league that you cannot ignore it. And 15th round, Brad, seems just about right. You know, I would. Hey, we're going to give a lot of trophies away this year. It's somebody asked me why we expanded the league to Friday. And I said I had to have time to give out all the trophies, so we needed an extra day. But we do start on Friday afternoon. You guys will be there on Friday afternoon. Two trophies, two championship trophies, one to go to each representative of the home office there back in Illinois. So I want to ask you, of all the formats that we have, you've obviously mastered the main event, and you'll continue to play aggressively in it. Talk to me about the spring leagues, because you guys take a big position in those, the Run to Daylight and the Checkered Flag. Our good friends Jimmy Johnson and Eric Balkman will be picking up trophies for those respectively this year. How did you like playing in those?
Go ahead,
Derek. Well, we really enjoy playing in those, and it just gets you. I think it just gets you more ready when you do these off season leagues and tournaments like that. I mean, you've got your thought process. You're going to need that. You're going to need to be able to decipher and think on your feet when you hit the main events, and all of it is. Basically we use it to ramp up to the main events and you know, that we're going to do in August and September, and you know, it gets us battle ready, and you know, you learn, and when you make mistakes, and we make some, or we feel like we have, we try to learn and try to talk it through as a team, and try to come to, you know, try to figure out what we want to do next time, or if it was something that was avoidable or not avoidable. And, you know, that's the strength of having a partnership. You can talk things out, and you've got an extra set of eyes on things, and you know, maybe sometimes a different way of looking at it. And so it really, I really do enjoy them a lot. And you can get cheap rookies sometimes. So that's the time to get them if you want them, unless Bobby Sangerman's in your draft.
Yeah, Bobby's got a good hand pulse to those rookies. You know, you guys did not win the championship, but you were well represented in the Sweet 16 of each league, and you made a very nice run there. Now that's the kind of format. We're going to start with that. That's the type of league that we'll be having when we start our live drafting on Super Bowl weekend there at Caesars. And I think there's a, you know, $5,000 is a worthwhile prize. It's not the greatest prize, but I think the smaller tournament with a $200 entry fee, 96 teams, I think there's a hunger for that type of tournament. Everyone feels that the numbers aren't so big that that they won't have a good chance if they do draft successfully and they do excel in it. And, you know, I was just very excited about it. It came those leagues came out of the COVID and the lockdown, the fact that I knew guys were at home and looking for something to do. And I never really thought that we would drop into the fact that it would be a significant demand to continue them. And now it seems like It seems like the demand is getting even a little bigger. Okay, I'm going to shoot you some guys. If you prefer not to comment, you can pass. And, you know, I don't want you guys to give away all of your information, because I expect this to, and it's not what you it's not what you know, but it's how you do it. And so I think I think just telling people who you make a difference. It's how you put together those teams around the players. And so I'm just going to, you know, for the first time in a long time, or maybe the first time ever, I've got to draft numerous teams. I've utilized in football guys through the slow draft, which is the only way that I can draft, because I can't stop doing anything for 2 hours and draft a team. So the slow draft has been wonderful for me. I know you guys don't really like it that much, and you know, that's great. But I'm thrilled for the slow draft to give me a chance. So I'm just going to throw out some names of guys I have been drafting. I'm going to start with another gentleman from Illinois, Darnell Mooney. Brad, you go first on this one.
I mean, I like him. He was probably, you know, middle of the draft player for me. I mean, he's not a must have. I mean,
middle of the draft player is what you won with, sir, in 2020. Yeah, yeah. Darren, what do you got to say about Mooney?
I like Mooney. I kind of probably missed my opportunity early for him. I guess maybe I did not believe that the Bears would do the right thing. They have not done the right thing for several years now, so I did not anticipate them actually going out and getting Fields. I thought Dalton was our prize. So if Fields can get in there and play, I think it will help him, because he's a very accurate quarterback. And Mooney had a lot of uncatchable balls last year, so he does have a ceiling. He's not really been a staple on our teams. I think we're looking at other positions around that area most of the time.
All right, well, you guys are great road men, so let's just stay on I-65 and head south. End up in Indianapolis, where we'll talk about one of my favorite players, wide receiver Pittman. Darren, you're up.
Okay. I liked Pittman last year. I was on him a lot. I didn't feel, you know, I don't pick apart the games like you do, but I didn't feel he took advantage of all the opportunities he had last year. And then I worry a bit about how that offense is going to look this year. Mm-hmm. Now, I remember last year distinctively cutting down Diggs and Allen a little bit, and that worked out well for them last year. And actually, we had a lot of shares of them, because a lot of it, you know, if ADP gets out of whack and, you know, he looks like the best value there, I've got no problem taking him. But he's not someone that I look to take.
You a little higher on Pittman, Brad?
I think we're in agreement. I don't. No, honestly, no.
I have targeted Pittman in every league I can get him. I think he's an explosive player. I hope you guys are wrong. If you're anywhere near right, I have been overdrafting him. Let's stay on 65. Stop in Louisville. Have lunch with me. Keep going. Go to Nashville. There's a player that in the FFPC is being drafted. I don't know if he'll be drafted here. He's a 6'2" overachieving Harvard Ivy League product tight end, Fursker. Can you guys give me any insight into why I should be drafting Fursker over some of the magnificent athletes that are playing tight end in the NFL? Brad, you're up.
Well, we know that you don't particularly like Fursker, but we have on occasion chosen to take him as a later round tight end, and usually it's if we have Tannehill. So,
okay.
It's not one of those guys we really think about until the time is coming up for a second tight end, and or maybe a third if you're talking FFPC, and we might make an effort to get him if we have Tannehill, and that's usually how our thought process works for a player like that.
Very good, Darren. Anything to add there?
You can't diss Burke Daddy.
Oh, well, we'll get back behind the wheel. We'll leave Ferk Daddy in Nashville. We'll head on down through Alabama, and we'll head west. And we'll get on I-10. We'll stop in New Orleans. Traquan Smith. Darren, you're up.
Okay. There is definitely opportunity. But he has been an underachiever. He's had opportunities in the past, and he does flash. But that seems to be all he's done is just flash. And
caught 35 passes last year. Was, you know,
yeah.
Drew Brees, who couldn't necessarily get the ball down the field. That's all I'm saying.
I know. I mean, and it could. I mean, a different quarterback with a year prep could get him the ball. I don't know. If it falls on ADP and it fits into our structure, or if we're stacking or something like that, I would consider him. But he's not someone I look to just to go out and look for.
Well, let's ask somebody who always knows. Then Traquan Smith, can you get your partner to move him up a little bit there, Big Try?
No, I have a tendency to leave him alone as well.
Yeah, we're leaving him alone. Okay. So it's a short stay in New Orleans, and we left Traquan Smith alone, which gave us time to think about tight end Troutman. You know, a lot of people are talking about Troutman. They think they've seen something in Troutman. I particularly haven't drafted Troutman anywhere. Am I making mistakes? Brad, you're up.
Yeah, I think he's somebody that's worth taking a shot at. I know there's the thoughts are that he's going to benefit the most from Michael Thomas being out. Now, I don't know if that's because Hill can't throw the ball very far, or if they're going to play Winston. But you know, you just mentioned Traquan Smith because Breeze couldn't throw the ball downfield. I don't know that Hill is all that great of arm either, but maybe that's just me. But I figure him as a running quarterback rather than a thrower. So, you know, I think if it is Hill, I think Troutman probably benefits a little bit more.
And with Winston, because I think it's going to be Winston.
I would lean towards Winston, but I'm not Sean Payton either. So
Sean Payton knows. Yeah, Sean Payton take it on week to week situation. You're the same way on Troutman there, Darren.
Yeah, I like to take a shot on him. Now he's really been skyrocketing up the ADP charts lately, so I'm inclined to take less of a shot on him now than I would have been a month or two ago. But he's someone that if his ADP settles down a little bit, I would be interested in.
Go ahead.
And I've been kind of feeling that it might be Hill instead of Winston, but I don't know. I guess it's, you never know with these guys, but you know, and I think he may show better this year when he has a full off season. I think he got thrown into a mess
and a preseason.
Year.
Yeah. And yes. A preseason, you know, yes, it's hard for a Dayton Flyer to walk into the NFL and make that kind of difference. Let me ask you something, guys, let's go west. And, you know, last year it was proven that fantasy supremacy can come from a team that wins one game, because the Jacksonville Jaguars helped us at different positions. They won one football game. The Houston Texans are pretty much berated as a team that is without a direction. We know they're uncertain about the quarterback, but they do have some interesting players down there. And I'm not going to ask you about any one. I want different players. I want to start with Brad first. I want you to talk to me about one Texan that you like, one Texan that you don't like.
Wow.
There's so many.
You know what? For the where he's landing, I like Philip Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
Just where I think he's going to get plenty of touches. And I kind of liked him in Denver. I mean, he was banged up a lot. But I kind of like him for the place that we're taking him. And we've got probably a good chunk of him this year. Darren probably has numbers. But Philip Lindsay's probably the guy for the spot that we're getting him, I probably like the most of the Texans. And
I highly agree with that assessment. Let's keep it positive, Darren. Who's your plus guy on the Texans?
Well, Lindsey would have been it, but I mean, there's a couple other guys that are intriguing. I think David Johnson has really fallen a lot too, and you know, his backfield running mate, and you know, it might be a situation where one of them, you know, Johnson starts out the year and he does okay, and then Lindsey takes over. Who knows? But there's a couple other players that are kind of intriguing. You know, Cooks and Nico Collins are intriguing players, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens at tight end that year. I mean, they're definitely going to be probably having to throw a lot, but who knows what that team's going
to. We really now return to P-Trap because we have determined that Larson likes the entire roster of the Houston Texans.
There's a lot
so
of
we're moving, if we can get to the 20th round, he's even going to throw a dart at Watson before it's okay. So we're back to Brad P-Trap. Brad, tell me somebody on the Texans. Certainly Darren doesn't know. Tell me somebody on the Texans that you're not going to touch.
I really don't take – I mean, I like Cooks, but I don't really take him.
He's an eighth-round draft pick, I believe. Eight rounds to get him.
But I don't know that he's an eighth-rounder for me.
Right.
And it's not a knock on the player, it's a knock on the team. So, you know, and he has concussion issues. He seems to always have a little hurt. He's a good receiver, but who are they going to have throwing the ball to him? So, yep. Not to divulge our strategy, but most of our receivers we take before we start having to worry about people like that. And and maybe that's divulging too much, but.
They will not take Cooks. Everybody knows when FBI walks in, they will not take Cooks.
Say we won't take him.
He'll be a fifth rounder. You'll elevate him three rounds. Darren, have you thought of one Texan that you just can't stand?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd say the Houston DST.
No defense and special teams.
Yes.
For Aaron, Darren Larson. Guys, you've been wonderful tonight. Thanks for coming. Kept you a little longer than I intended to. Your support of the league, what you've done with bringing people into the league, guys that like you have had a lot of success. It's been wonderful. You and we'll never get. I never get tired of letting our pal J.R. Fenton talk about how he recruited one team from Las Vegas to play in the KFFSC, and he hit pay dirt with FBI. You guys are a great contributor, great players, and big success coming in 2021. I wish you all the luck coming down here, fighting it out with Fetch, and Fetch's mortal enemy, Jim Cole, as you guys all draft together and compete again. I will be seeing you in just 5 short days where we'll get reunited there at the Hard Rock Casino. That's completely sold out, but all we've got just about left to offer the public is our online leagues, and I hope you guys will be showing up there as well. I appreciate it, and I look forward to when we can get you back another time and after the draft where you don't divulge any more secrets. And just know that the Hammer Time Guide does not include Brandon Cooks. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks.
Thank you.